This is MSO News Sports, and we are here with our weekly visit with Endicott College head football coach Paul McGonigal. They are headed to the NCAA playoffs again this year. But first, let's go back to Saturday's Senior Day win, 41-14 over UNE, University of New England. And as I mentioned earlier, just now, Senior Day. Coach McGonigal, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you, Bill. Always great to be back.
As we talk on Monday morning after the win and after the end of the regular season, first up, let's go to the league championship. Congratulations, league championship, and third straight league title for the Gulls.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, as you know, it's a team effort. It starts with administration and coaches and players and stuff like that. And I think, you know, winning the conference this year, you know, the last couple of years has been great. But I think, you know, you get that target, it's bigger and bigger, and you get everybody's best. So I'm just very proud of these players. And they were very resilient all year long and very focused on, you know, week to week. We had a big win, you know, the beginning of the year versus number 5 team from Texas, and that was great, but they really were focused on the conference, and that was their goal, and they stuck through it.
All right, let's go to Saturday's game, the win over the UNE. And Paul, let me just ask, what stands out in this game, and how do you use that as a stepping stone looking ahead to the NCAA playoffs? See, I was able to sneak that in on you already here, but tell me about the UNE game and how and what the team kind of pulls out of that game moving forward.
You know, I think each week is a challenge. You know, obviously it's a conference game, and you know, it's the end of the year, and you know, technically it's, you know, do you want to rest guys, not rest guys, but I think we go full tilt through it. And, you know, the team played great. You know, we got out to, you know, we scored a second possession, and, you know, we challenged our defense, and they did an unbelievable job. I think they limited to 245 yards of offense. A lot of it came in the fourth quarter versus some of our younger guys or older guys we put in. But the defense did an unbelievable job, you know, versus their offense. And then offensively, you know, third down was good for us. And total offense, you know, we did well scoring. You know, we had some situations where it was a shorter field, or it was a short punt or stuff like that, which gives us shorter fields. But we'll take that every time. But still stuff we need to work on. Obviously, we had too many penalties. That was something we addressed yesterday with the team. But, you know, to be able to, you know, rush for over 200 yards and passing, stuff like that, being balanced again, and that was great. But, and, you know, going back to Senior Day, you know, celebrating 40 seniors, I think as a coach, you know, that's not on the, when you become a coach, you know, you're thinking about X and O's, but also, okay, how do we get these seniors? How, you know, what time is the walkthrough? We literally walked through it on Friday, like, okay, you're next, the timeline, because you have to move warm-ups up, and you don't want to lose them all, but at the same time, you're like, okay, what do we do for stretching? And it sounds petty, but it's what you do. But our administration did a great job, and it was unbelievable. The parents are a lot of tears, but happy tears in a good way. So, but we're not done yet, which is great. So hopefully, you know, we have another home game coming up.
When you, you know, you do have another home game. So it's not as if the seniors are saying goodbye to Beverly, the football in Beverly, right there at the college campus yet. But what else stands out with these seniors? Now, that's a pretty large number of seniors to have, right, Coach, moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good size. I mean, some were the fifth year. Some could still do the fifth year. Just that COVID class, that was kind of in between with the seniors, but they've only played 3 years. So some of them potentially could come back. You know, some of them are, but some already came back. But what they've done over the 3 years, not only three championships, but I think they've lost one conference game in 3 years. They've just been unbelievable. They set the tone, you know, and some have had an impact their first year. So obviously it's a credit to, you know, the coaches and recruiting as well, and then the ties. We have some high school coaches locally and distance-wise. But I was doing a interview after the game, and we were talking about, you know, the season and whatnot. I was telling him how, you know, he's from Massachusetts, he's from Connecticut, he's from Maine, New Hampshire. So, you know, how we had some success, yeah, but it's with New England players, which is great.
Yeah, no, I was looking at the all the names that were in the story, and you're right. I mean, I obviously make note of the North Shore players because we've covered them at the high school ranks and so on. But clearly, also, I mean, you are drawing from around New England, which is great, and beyond as well, for sure.
Yeah, well, mostly New England, New York, New Jersey. You know, yeah. We're never going to say no to somebody we think can play for us. And just like coaching and recruiting, sometimes you're 100% right and sometimes you're 100% wrong. You know, sometimes you think someone's going to be better than they are and they're not, and sometimes you think someone will be okay and they're better than they are. But I think that's our relationship with the high school coaches and them trusting us with their players and the parents trusting us with their sons, as well as, you know, us trying to monitor them. Not only, you know, we've had some success, like you mentioned, with the conference, but we've also been number one in the academics the last couple of years in the conference, too, football-wise. So that's been one of our biggest recruiting ploys.
Yeah, the other thing, Coach, what did you tell the seniors, either before the game or after the game? Did you have a specific message for them?
We didn't have a message. We kind of just had that subtle mumble, we're not done yet, if that makes sense. You know, I think they were motivated to at least play another game. We didn't know if we're going to be home or away, so it's their potential last home game. It's not their last game, so I think that was kind of the motivation of let's, you know, if you want to keep this going, we need to keep winning.
Great. Okay, so let's talk about the next game. Cortland, NCAA playoffs. Cortland, you can clear it up for me, but they were winners this weekend over Ithaca, a team that the year one loss was to Ithaca, but they beat them 38-28. They've also played another NCAA opponent, Susquehanna, and so this is a tough team, and they're coming to Endicott on Saturday. So you kind of give us the overview on how you see this first opening NCAA game for you guys.
Yeah, they're a very, very good football team. You know, they've done a great job over the years, been in the NCAA many times, and they've beaten two NCAA teams. Del Valle, who's in our region, in playing, they beat them the opening game pretty handily. The only loss was Susquehanna, who's 10-0, and number 10 in the country, and Cortland's number 11 in the country right now. So they just beat Ithaca, who we played early in the year. It's a non-conference game, but it's a great traditional game. But both teams, you can see the film, you can see the places are packed. I think last year they played like Giant Stadium and stuff. So this is a team that's used to being in this moment. You know, the NCAA made a decision for them to come here. You know, it'll be definitely a tough test for us. But again, when you get to the playoffs, I mean, it's the best of the best. So, you know, we're going to try to do, you know, we think we do, just like they're going to try to do what they think they can do. And, you know, it'll be a tough test for us as a team.
I guess if we were just talking about earlier, and we've talked throughout the year about the balanced offensive attack from you guys, about your intense defense and special teams that have been very successful for you guys this year. But when you look at this Cortland team, what do you see? Do you see size? Do you see some incredible athletes that you can go up and get footballs at the receivers? Or what do you see?
We see it all. When you're top 11 in the country and you're 9-1, I mean, you have good players. They got a great quarterback. They have great skill. They have, I mean, again, there's no weakness. You know, I think sometimes you may play teams in the past, okay, he's very strong. We can go after him or him, but not here. You know, I think it's going to be they got a lot of great players and they're well coached and they're big, they're fast. So, again, you get to this point, it is what it is, and it's the best of the best.
The other thing too, we were mentioning mistakes a moment ago, or penalties, which are, I guess, mistakes or can be classified under mistakes. What do you look at when you look at these two teams, your team and them? What do you see about mistakes? I'm guessing they're not committing a lot of mistakes.
No, not to be redundant, when you're a good team, you tend to make less mistakes. And I think with us going back, the penalties are, you know, we've been in games where there's 3 flags total on both teams, and we've been in games there's 19 penalties on both teams. So it's kind of how you're doing as a team. Are you making mistakes, or are the officials, what are they throwing, stuff like that. I think the difference with the NCAAs is we'll get a crew that we've never had before, and the same for them, because it's just like, you know, there's 240 something Division III teams, and only 32 teams can make it. So just like official crews, they do the same for them. Like what official crews are graded out throughout the year and make it. So, you know, like last year's game, we had a team that, I mean, a referee crew, we never had it from like upstate New York. So I don't know if that's good or bad, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you get the same crew over and over again in New England, and you get a rapport with them, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But it depends on, you know, just like we're being graded, they're being graded. So,
you know, then the other thing too, Coach, you're playing at noon on Saturday, so this is your schedule, I mean, and a game week schedule. So maybe take our listeners through what you do from day to day during the game week. As we talk on Monday morning, you've already met the team. Let me just jump back one last question before we do this. Tell us about watching the selection show. I didn't watch it. I wasn't able to watch it. But tell me about what were you guys doing during the selection show? Where did that take place for you guys?
So we have a brand new auditorium built last year, Clary Auditorium. Seats like 700, and it's just unbelievable. You know, it's obviously used for academics in school. We use it for team meetings. And we got in there. We got about 80 pizzas, so the players are happy. We got a bunch of pizza and stuff. It's a good problem to have, and just you can't put a price tag on it. But I mean, that moment of just them seeing their name out there in a card and seeing a little couple of highlights, and then seeing being selected and seeing who you play, you know, like, you know, when the season starts, you know, here's our 10 games. Well, here on a Sunday, we don't know who we're playing. And I think throughout the week, we kind of do, oh, well, maybe get them. And I don't think any of us were right. So I think there's definitely excitement. It's a good problem to have. But to go to the week, usually we'll have a lot of breakdowns done. But now the head coach and I are exchanging film. Okay, let's exchange the last couple games. You know, each one has, and then now it's a later Sunday night, you know, into the wee hours, breaking those games down. And then I think during the week, it's kind of like a regular game week, give or take. I think the biggest adjustment from the season to the NCAAs is the roster size. So we're only allowed to dress 58 players. So it's almost like an NFL roster, both teams. So now it turns into, okay, he's on three special teams, or he's only on one. Can we dress him versus, okay, we have to take a couple more stars and put him on special teams, if that makes sense. So that, to me, is one of the biggest difference between a regular season game and a playoff game, because now you don't have another guy on the sideline, like, okay, if so-and-so gets hurt, the next guy can go. You have to, like, literally, like, do you dress three quarterbacks or four quarterbacks or two, or, you know, 10 linemen or eight linemen or an extra D lineman or extra receiver, to base off who you play. So that's more of the difference in the in the situation versus last week's game or week three's game.
Yeah, and but I'm also thinking, though, the as you set up the week, as I think you were alluding to earlier, for the players, I mean, those are decisions that you guys, the coaches, are going to have to make. But for the players, it's going to look pretty similar to a regular game week, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. You know, I think that's the biggest difference. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but to me, I think if you make it different, then I think people put different priorities on it. I think it's a regular Monday for us as coaches, a regular Tuesday for lifts and practice, and Wednesday and Thursday. And the only difference right now is it gets darker earlier, you know, with the daylight savings time. That's the biggest, darker and colder, but I guess it's a good problem to have when you practice in this time of year.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, is there anything else you want to mention about the team this year, either you know, that we didn't talk about Saturday's game, or looking ahead to the NCAA opener on Saturday at home?
You know, I think obviously we were very fortunate to be home again for 3 years in a row, and, you know, it's Thanksgiving break on Friday for the students, but last year's crowd was amazing, and hopefully we'll get the same effect here. But, you know, I think we just go back to the seniors, Bill. I mean, what they've done, can't overlook that. We've talked about coaches, administration. We've talked about, you know, the parents and everybody. But these seniors, you know, I told them they didn't win the conference Saturday. They won the conference in the off season. And actually, you know, Jack Dustin, our strength coach, who we came together here in 2018, he is our kind of hidden assassin. He's in the weight room. He's here 12, 14 hours a day. And what he's done with these players, you know, he played Assumption and helped coach when we were there, and coming over here and being the strength coach for not only us, for all the sports. I mean, other sports have success here too, and a lot of it has to do with what he does in the weight room behind the scenes with those guys. But those seniors wanted in the winter lifts and the 6 a.m. or 8 p.m. spring practices in the cold. That's what these guys wanted. So happy these seniors, because these guys stuck through the COVID, through the 3 years, and now they're leaving as you know, champions again.
Well, Coach, it's great having you on again this week, and obviously great to have the program here on the North Shore for sure. And it's been a great run, and we're looking forward to Saturday. So, Coach, thank you so much for your time. Good luck to you, the coaches, the players on Saturday against Cortland in the opening game of the NCAAs.
Thank you, Bud. I really appreciate it, and thanks for help all year, and we'll talk again next Monday.
You got it. Again, we are talking Monday morning with Coach Paul McGonigal from Endicott College Football here on MSONewsSports.com.